Much of the national focus on improving health care has centered on the expansion of coverage that is starting to take effect. But a report out today says it is time for the country to pay more attention to the socioeconomic conditions that play a role in health outcomes, especially for lower-income Americans. The recommendations issued by a nonpartisan commission created by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation call for new investments like pre-K education for children under five. David Williams is a professor at Harvard School of Public Health. He was a staff director for the commission as well. And for the record, the foundation is one of our sponsors for health coverage. Professor Williams, it's good to have you with us.
It's good to be with you.
So what is the rationale for thinking that doing something about socioeconomic conditions is going to be connected to a health improvement?
Well, first, the larger context is, as a nation, we have a huge problem. We spend more money on medical care than any other country in the world. According to the World Bank, half of the money spent on medical care in the world annually is spent in the United States. Yet we rank among at the bottom of the industrialized world on health, and we are losing ground over time. So we have a crisis. And the problem is not just a problem of the low-income individuals and the poor. Even the best-off Americans are not currently achieving a level of health that is possible, and more medical care spending will not solve it. We now need to look at what are the drivers of health in the first place. Our healthcare system is wonderful. We have great facilities. We have the best-trained medical workforce in the world. But to a large degree, medical care is a repair shop that takes care of us once we get sick, and it doesn't determine whether we get sick or not in the first place.
So what's an example of something that can be done to improve someone's what we call socioeconomic status, whether it's education or something else, that then leads to an improvement in health?
So let's talk about early childhood development. What we know is that the foundations of health in adulthood are laid in childhood. And the opportunities and the experiences that children have, even before they go to school, shape their risk of chronic disease 30, 40 years later. So that everything that we can do to prepare those children and give them the optimal health and the optimal developmental opportunities in the preschool area, then they're ready for school and they have higher levels of education and they will have better health for the rest of their life.
But can you give us an example of something they would learn in school that would then lead to a better health outcome?
Certainly. More health education and more physical fitness in schools are good. But that's not where I'm going. We are going on preparing those kids for learning. So, for example, a child exposed to toxic stress, and toxic stress are examples of being taken care of by a caregiver who's chronically depressed, growing up in chronic poverty, being a victim of abuse, that child will have more problems in success in school, but will also have more health problems as an adult. Studies show that we can actually measure the alteration of brain structure in those preschool kids linked to their exposure to toxic stress.
At the same time, I was reading today that of course, there's disagreement among experts about whether universal pre-K education, which is one of the things I think your task force is calling for, is good for all children. How do you look at the arguments that are out there about this?
I think every child needs the opportunity for healthy development. For many children, they may get that in their home, and they don't have to go to a preschool setting. So we are not necessarily calling for preschool, universal preschool for all. We are calling for universal preschool for those who are in environments where they need that healthy environment to do well. And that certainly characterizes many of our lower socioeconomic populations.
Looking again at some of your recommendations, it's a pretty ambitious agenda. How do you pay for it?
That is a really good question. Given our expenditure on medical care, this money is not there isn't a shortage of money in this country. The question is, how do we spend our money and what are our priorities? But the good news is there are promising models all across the country right now with creative public-private partnerships, like in the state of Minnesota, where the business community and the state has come together to provide scholarships so that all poor kids can get a preschool education. Or there's an example from Texas where a state raised the sales tax by one-eighth of a penny. And that money is allocated for preschool education. So they're wonderful examples.
So you're saying the evidence is already out there that this works. But
let me tell you how powerful the evidence is. The best evidence comes from a study done in Ypsilanti, Michigan, more than 50 years ago, the Perry Preschool Study, where kids were randomly, by the flip of a coin, received preschool or didn't receive preschool. They've now been followed for 40 years. Those kids that got the preschool, 40 years later, higher levels of education, higher levels of income, higher levels of home ownership, higher levels of marriage, less involvement with the criminal justice system, less involvement with the social welfare system. And for every dollar invested, there's a $17 return to society from that preschool program. That's stunning. That is amazing economic development that we can achieve.
So just very quickly, finally, is this something you have to persuade the White House and the Congress to go along with to make it happen?
I think there's a lot of interest in pre-K education across the political spectrum in the United States now because the evidence is so strong that there's such enormous benefit for our society.
All right. Professor David Williams of Harvard, we thank you very much.
Thank you.